I don't know, before worship, I was just out front greeting people and everything like that, and I'm just thinking all these people coming here, gathering around the world, we all have something in common. We have the same God. Amen, indeed. The same God that maybe you cry out to in times of trouble, the same God that rejoices with you, the same God that is there for you every time. It's the same God for all of us. We have this friend in common. You know, sometimes you meet someone from another state, you find out you have a friend in common. Oh, hey, you feel this immediate connection. And we have that. And furthermore, we are children of God, for he who receives and believes has the right to become the child of God, it says in John 1. And with so you're just seeing, so not only do we have a friend in common, we're all children of God. We're children of the same God that makes us brothers and sisters. And that is so cool. I mean, you can walk in any church anywhere in the world, and you're going to be surrounded by brothers and sisters. People that you have this connection with. Incredible. A family. We're a family. So thank you, God, for bringing us together. Thank you for this technology that allows those that are online to join us as well. And thank you that we are brothers and sisters. Let us be there for each other in that way, too. Let's hear from God through his word.
The first reading today is from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here ends the readings.
All right, thank you, Kelly. Reformation Sunday, I'm going to read the scriptures that will apply to what we're hearing here today. So my message will be based on Psalm 46. I'll read that first of all. We'll get to the gospel eventually here. A psalm which was instrumental in Martin Luther's composition of A Mighty Fortress, the hymn for which he is perhaps most famous. So Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The second reading, also Reformation Sunday, being it's all about, you know, the Reformation that took place, led by Martin Luther. And in this passage is the verse that really awakened him, that turned him on, that made him see things. It was an awakening for him. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law we are made conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith." And here is the key verse for him. "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." All right, for our gospel today. Went with the lectionary here. Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. There we go. I'm getting out of my groove a little bit. That's okay. It's all good. We're here. God's here. He's the reason we're here in more ways than one. All right. The gospel today is found in John chapter 8. "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed.'" Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word. You know, all scripture is useful for teaching, for correcting, for, you know, proclaiming, for getting closer to you. And Lord, without your word, we'd be lost. So thank you for this guide that you've given us. Amen. And may this word speak to us. Alrighty. So Martin Luther, you go back in history class, 1500s, it was a time where, I don't know, the Holy Roman Empire controlled most of Europe. And the Catholic Church was basically proclaiming themselves the only way to heaven. As an intro, I guess I wrote this one, sort of. I don't write sermons, but I wrote this one. Okay, I'm a child of the 70s, okay. I grew up with Star Wars. And I still remember being in the Glenwood Theater when it existed. And being there, and then all this music starts playing, these words start crawling across the screen. I was just setting the opening thing. And it was great. And similar, maybe in Luther's time, just imagine. You know, it was a dark time. The corrupt Holy Roman Empire controlled most of Europe politically, while the Roman Catholic Church, led by Pope Leo X, had absolute control of people's beliefs. A hero was needed, a young monk standing up for what he believed in, willing to face the dangers, the physical danger, an arrest warrant, which would almost certainly lead to a horrible death, perhaps by burning at the stake. The spiritual danger he faced, excommunication, being banished from the church, and sentenced by them to hell. Luther faced these dangers and stood firm. When given the chance to recant in front of Charles V, he did not. He said, "Yes, I wrote these books and I stand by what is in them. and concluded with, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Following that, he was on his way back when he was kidnapped by forces from Frederick the Wise, an ally who was in disguise, brought to Wartburg Castle, disguised as Knight George, where in peace and safety, he translated the New Testament, opening scripture to the masses. So this sort of sets the scene for what's happening here. And scripture comes alive, and history can come alive in many ways. And if you're just seeing what's happening in all these events and what he faced, the corruption that was rampant at the time in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I have a lot of friends that are Catholics. We get along great. We have fun together. And our beliefs are, pretty doggone similar. Okay, there's a little bit of difference when it comes to this purgatory thing and praying to Mary and the saints and things like that. They've got their way of praying to God, and I've got my way, but we still believe in Jesus, okay? And that is the thing that we have in common, Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So, but at that time, it was admittedly getting corrupt. Now, the church is run by humans. Is there always going to be some sort of corruption and bad choices and bad decisions? Yeah, it's going to happen. The human thing creeps in. Ideally, it shouldn't be that way, and it will not be that way in the final time when Jesus comes again, when everything is done right. And as hard as we try, we are human, and that was happening here. But the corruption, a little bit more. They were building this fancy new basilica or cathedral in Italy, and they were just needing money for it, so they started taxing people more and more and then having them buy these indulgences, where if your friend or relative was in purgatory, you could pay money and, shorten their time there. And this was getting corrupt. Luther recognized that, and he set out to change it. He did not want to destroy the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform it, to remold it, to reshape it, to get it back on track, if you will, because it had been straying. You want to get back on track. And that's the deal with Reformation. If a person strays, we try to reform them and get them back on track. And, a lot of us have needed reforming. Hey, I'm one of them too, right? Okay. God's got his own types of reform schools where he gets us back on track by good methods, right? Not by bad methods. So that's what Luther was facing here. And when he was kidnapped then, which was an arranged kidnapping by an ally, and brought to Wartburg Castle, he spent about 10 months there. While he was there, he translated the New Testament into German so that the people could read it. Before that, they had access to the Bible only through the priests, who knew the Latin and knew the proper interpretation and would share that with the people. They couldn't read it for themselves. They couldn't access God's words. I take that for granted. Every morning, I'm sitting at the table doing my Bible study, and Jill's doing hers, and that wasn't possible back before Luther. People did not have access to the full Word of God, where, if I want to read Nehemiah, or I want to read Joel, or I want to read 2 Peter, I can now. And that's, again, one of those things we take for granted. But this time in Wartburg Castle, was the inspiration for this hymn that we'll sing at the end of worship, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." And he was safe in Wartburg Castle, maybe going a little stir-crazy because he was confined to a small area of the castle. Nobody could know he was there. He grew a beard out, disguised himself, and made a couple of forays into town at night, too. Sort of snuck out, if you will. And went to the local beer hall and heard what the people were saying about Luther. He was curious. So he could do more of that in the history books. But in this time where he's persecuted, there's a price in his head. He would read Psalm 46, which spoke to him, that God is a refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. He knew trouble. People are out to get him. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam." The person writing this psalm 700 to 1,000 years before Jesus, the picture's here. The waters roaring and foaming. The sea was a scary place. It was terrifying. Imagine being out on a small wooden boat, or even a small wooden ship, if you will, before, life jackets were invented, anything like that. It was scary. No engines. You're totally at the mercy of the wind and the waves. You can shorten your sails or else take the sails down completely, but then you have no control. You're being tossed by the seas. So yeah, even in the midst of scary things, God is our ever-present help in trouble. And Luther could call on him. He could pray to him, you know, in his isolation there. And I like the contrast of the psalmist here. He's talking about the waters roaring and foaming. And in the next verse, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. All of a sudden, we got this vision of Revelation 22. Jerusalem does not have a river, which is sort of unusual. Most major cities, even today, are located on rivers, which are needed for trade and transportation. Jerusalem did not have that. But if you look back in Revelation 22, which is the last chapter in the whole Bible, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. This is going to be the new Jerusalem, right? There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, etc. And it's just a beautiful picture that it paints. Read that last two chapters of Revelation, 21 and 22. You just go, wow, I can't wait, God. I can't wait to see this. So even in the midst of turbulence, there can be calm. And that's what we're seeing here. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. And this was happening. The political climate was a lot happening with the Holy Roman Empire. It's always growing and shrinking, and there were wars fought. France wouldn't be a part of it, and all this. There's just turmoil politically as well. But in the midst of this, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our fortress. Our refuge in time of trouble. Our help. Our ever-present help. That's our God. So as Luther was safe in the walls of Wartburg Castle, he was safe with God as well, and more importantly than that, right? You know, the walls offered physical protection. God offers more than that, physical and spiritual protection. When he claims you as his own, his arms are wrapped around you, there's nothing that can hurt you, and nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There's no better place to be than the arms of God, where you can have peace, you can have calm, you can have that reassurance, and you can feel that love. It's beautiful. It's a place where you can, as he writes in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Where you can experience that peace that just soaks through every cell of your body. In the midst of chaos, that refuge in God. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Whom shall we fear? We don't have to fear anything. We've been set free from that, as we're going to hear in the gospel in just a bit. So that was sort of like Luther's time in the castle there, but he had this revelation from Romans where God spoke to him. Up until this time, people were still thinking they had to do things to get salvation. They had to somehow earn it. They had to be good enough. Well, the truth is, none of us are good enough. None of us are deserving of it. There is no one that is free from sin. That's what we're going to hear here as well. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So for centuries and millennia, people had tried to follow the rule of the law, all the Levitical laws, and thinking that would make them worthy to be with God. But Jesus came along and changed everything. The law still has a place, all right? But no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. We can't be good enough. Rather, though, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. That law can serve as a mirror. We see ourselves, and we see ourselves in the law that we can't fulfill it. We're not perfect, that we're sinners. It shows us that. And by showing us that, it shows us our need for a Savior, that we can't be good enough on our own. The law is also a guide for living. Following the Ten Commandments is a great guide for living, and you know other laws as well. How we are to love God, how we are to treat others, it's all there. And it also shows God's character, his concern for his people. Again, it's all there in his laws. So the laws have a purpose and still do. But again, they cannot save. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the good news, all are justified freely by his grace, the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. because we're not good enough, God brought in Jesus, who is good enough. And God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement to pay up for our sins, to settle them before God. Because if we got what we deserved, yeah, each one of us, you know, but that's all, folks, okay? Yeah. But we don't get what we deserve because of what Jesus did. He took that on himself, the punishment that we deserve, paid for it on the cross with the shedding of his blood, and we receive it by faith. That's how we do it. We don't earn it. We receive it by believing, by having faith in him. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, all right, and how good he is, because we're not righteous, but he is. So where then is boasting? Is excluded enough? Can boast? We can't say, hey, I'm better than anybody else. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. That was that verse that just opened it wide for Martin Luther. He had been trying to follow the teachings of the Catholic Church. He had been like the monk's monk, the perfect one that is confessing every little thought and sin. But that didn't do it. That didn't set him free. He was tormented. But then when he read this verse, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. It's not what we do. It's our belief in God that makes this possible. And that is amazing. That just by believing in him, we can have access to eternal life. And by doing so, we're free. Free from the burden of the law. And the law was a burden. There were many, many Levitical laws and commands, and people were worrying, did I break this one? Did I break that one unintentionally? Things like, don't reap to the edge of the field. When you're harvesting, you had to leave a little bit on the edge. Well, how close to the edge? You know, I don't want to be doing this wrong, God. I want to honor you. And the whole idea there was to leave a little bit for people that didn't have anything, that they could go through the field and harvest what was left there. So people stress over that, perhaps. Or am I wearing clothing with two types of material? In Levitical laws, it says, you shall not wear clothing with two types of material. Now, we're set free from the law now, okay? And if you got a polyester blend shirt or something, you don't have to worry about it, okay? But it's for fashion, right? And these were set by God. They're actual laws. Read through Leviticus sometime. I'm sure you already have already, but reread it sometime. There we go. And you just sort of go, wow, you had to observe this little, check that box, and you'll, you should not eat blood, okay? Well, I like my deer steaks really rare. Okay, and am I perhaps eating a little blood when I do so? Probably, okay? And in those Old Testament times, everything had to be cooked well done. Oh, that'd be an injustice. That'd be an injustice, right? Okay. But these were laws, and people were worried about breaking those laws. We don't have to worry about that now. Jesus has paid the price for everything. We believe in him, and we are set free. We are set free from the burden of the law. We are set free from other things as well, as we're going to hear momentarily. So similarly, Luther then was set free from all this worry and stress and everything like that because he realized, hey, I'm saved by just having faith in God, by believing in him. That's all that's required. Wow. To receive and believe. You have the right to become a child of God. Okay, well, freedom was the focus of the gospel we heard today as well. Jesus speaking to the Jews who had believed in him. So he's got an audience of people who believe in him, some of these Jews. It says, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Yes. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. Yeah, a slave's future is not guaranteed. You might be dismissed, you might be sold, you might be beaten, you might be killed. But a son belongs to the family forever. And as a child of God, a son or a daughter of God, you got security forever. Your future is secure. Wow, you don't have to worry about that. You know what's happening when you die. If you are a child of God, if you believe in his name, no stress, no worry on that. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Well, free from what? Free from sin. Free from death. free from the power of the devil. We no longer have to worry about those things. Free from fear. People living in fear all the time. We see it all around us. Pandemics and wars and, oh, you know, yeah, whatever. My future is secure. I don't have to worry. Free from guilt. A lot of us carry that. We've all done things that, you know, we carry guilt. Or we continue to do things. Freedom from shame, anxiety. Any of these things, our future is secure. Believe in Jesus. You don't have to worry about these things. So let us take joy in our freedom. Like Luther realized that he was free from the burden of the law. We are free as well. We are free in Christ if we receive and believe. We can take joy in that freedom. We can share that freedom with others. We should be proclaiming it. Think about the freedom you see in the pictures when the American troops rolled into France in 1945. They had been under Nazi oppression for years. And they were dancing in the streets. They were celebrating. They're just, yes! And we should be the same way. We have been set free as well, spiritually, as well as physically, and in every way. So let us proclaim that freedom. As we do as Luther did, as we stand firm for what is right in the midst of this world which is trying to teach other things that don't line up with Scripture, let us stand firm in that loving way, still welcoming and loving others and sharing that good news and sharing the hope that we have with them as well. Let us stand firm and let us be joyful. Amen.